You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We just started Sefer Bereishis and Bryas Olam, last week's parsha, and I want to point out tonight some interesting facts of Chazal of what happened at the time of Bryat Olam, and specifically Bryat Adam HaRisha. This first a Mishnah in Masechtas Avos, which starts off that in actuality the three Amudei Olam that keep this world in existence. They are Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. Torah is quite obvious, it's the learning of Torah. Gemilas Chasadim is the practice of Chesed, Bein Adam L'Chavero. And Avodah is Avodah HaKarban. So one of the Amudim that keep this world in existence is Avodah, which would therefore mean for Bryas Olam to have Schus Kiyum, you have to have Avodah take place, Avodah HaKarban, in order for the world to be able to be continued. It's an Amud Olam. Number two, we have a Midrash Chazal explicitly that says that the first thing Adam HaRishon did when he was created and born into this world is he was makriv a carbon. In fact, the Midrashim seemed to imply somehow he was makriv a unicorn, whatever that means. But the fact of the matter is he had an animal that one horn coming out of its head. But the first thing he did, because he was created as an adult, is basically he was makriv a carbon. Another Maimon Chazal we have, which is even more fascinating, is we know that Adam was created mi'adam. Where was this Adama taken from? So the second Medrash Chazal, which interesting enough, is not just a Medrash, but the Rambam records this in Hilchos Beis HaBechira. That's how far this Medrash is taken seriously, that the Adama that was used to create Adam was from this exact location that later on the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash would be built. So that location of the future Mizbeach, of the Beis HaMikdash, it was that earth on Har HaMoriah that was the earth that Rabban Lashem used to create Adam from the very beginning. It's fascinating, that connection between Karbanos and between Adam HaRishon's creation and the creation of the world itself. The Rambam says that Makom is a Makom Uchuvenes, and there had to be Kabbalot between Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni when Chuvena Bais Rishon took place, that Nevi'im had to come back to show exactly where their location is. So when they built the Mizbech and Bais Sheni, they knew exactly where to put it. And that's one of the problems we have today when it comes to Bais Shlishi. We're going to need a Navi, because the problem is we don't really know exactly, even though we know what the Temple Mount is, but there are different types of configurations of exactly how the Migdash itself, if you try to superimpose it on the Temple Mount, how it should be configured. In fact, the book at home I should have brought with me, where you have different shitas where they try to superimpose the Migdash on the Temple Mount. So could obviously some say it's not totally with the configuration of where the mosque and the Dome of Iraq is. Some say the Dome of Iraq is not the rock of the Kodesh HaKadosh. It was a big, big debate that goes back to the time of the 1600s, 1700s, the Ravaz and others. So for that reason, what I'm pointing out to you is the Makom HaMizbeach is the Makom HaKuvenes, the Makom HaBriyas Adam. So you have another connection between Bryas Olam, Karbanos, Adam HaRishon, mankind, another fascinating Maimon Chazal to show there's a connection between them.
That's
the Mizbeach HaChitzon. What? Yeah, but the Mizbeach that was in the Azara. Next, another interesting Maimon Chazal. And it's a pasuk in the Chumash. Cain and Hevel, one of the first things they did was they brought presents to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And when it came to Hevel, he brought Becheiros Sono. He brought the best and the finest of his son. He was makriv a karban. And the Rabbeinu Shalom was mekabel the karban. So quite obviously, they were very heavy into karbanos. Going back to Bryat Olam, it's another important pasuk, and Chazal emphasized this. If you remember, what was the first thing Noach did when he came out of the table after the marble? He was makriv a carbon in Pashas Noach. He was makriv a carbon as the first activity. The same way, when Adam was created in the first part of the world, makriv a carbon, Noach, as the world was recreated again through Noach and his children, first thing he did was he was makriv a carbon. When it comes to the Yavas, how many psukim we read in the Chumash and Sefer Bereishis that Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov were basically being makriv karbanos continuously? In fact, the biggest nisoyam that Avram was given was the Akedah of being marked of his son as a Karban. Ultimately, the Rabban Shimon replaced it with a ram. But how interesting is the biggest Nesayin is, you're marked of Karbanos. Now, are you willing to be marked of your Bimchi Yechid Chashahafta? Are you willing to go that far in Hakrevas HaKarban to Hashem? Another phenomenon. One of the phenomena we had, going back to Briyat Olam, is that there was a concept of a Bechar, the Chashivas of Bechar. If you look at Rabbeinu Bachya, Ben Osher, and the Chumash of Sefurim, and many Mefarshim, they point out, a Bechar had a major functionary role going back to the time of Briyat Olam, and one of his major functional roles, as Rashi alludes to the Chumash, is that he was in charge, if a Karban had to be brought to Hashem, the Bechar of the Mishpacha brought it. And that is why you had the deal between Yaakov and Esav, and basically speaking, Yaakov didn't feel that Esav was the right person of the Bechar HaMishpacha to be involved in being Makir of the Karban on behalf of the family. He bought the Bechar from him for one reason, and that is that he should have the ability to be Makir of the Karban, because he would adhere to the halachas related to Hakarvas HaKarban. Esav was not interested in the whole deal itself. So if that's the case, once again, we see that the history behind the scenes was very heavily involved in the Makir Karban, and the kibbutz to the Bechar was the Makir Karbanos. If Klal Yisrael would not have sinned with the Egel Hazav, the Makir Karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash would have been the Becharim. And in fact, historically speaking, even after the Egel Hazav took place, the Becharim were allowed to continue being Makir Karbanos, because we have the next time, we'll see the Becharim in activity. What I mentioned to you is that at Har Sinai, in Klal Yisrael Mekabel the Torah, and they underwent Geirus. So the Pasuk in Parshas Vayikra talks about the Nari B'nai Yisrael being Makir of a Karban as a Karban Hager. Who is Makir of the Karban? Rashi says, the Becharim Makir of the Karbanos. So they continued in their Hakrovas HaKarban functionality until the Mishkan was built. And Yom HaShemini, Aaron and his children took over. At that point in time, it was transferred to them. Another phenomenon, Yitzias Mitzrayim, was in the schus b'damaya chayi, in the schus of the Karban HaPesach. So the Karban HaPesach shows you how important that Karban was, and the dam of the Karban HaPesach was emphasized as the makiv patrish of klais, or the schus for the Yitzias Mitzrayim to take place. But b'damaya chayi, that's one of the b'damaya chayis according to the Mefarshim. Ultimately, the binyan of the Mishkan later on, the Beis Hamikdash, meant Hashem wanted Karbanos to be brought, because that's the whole function of the Mishkan as well as the Mikdash itself. So at the end of the day, with this little introduction I just gave you, it's quite obvious that Karbanos was the in thing from the very, very beginning. And there is, therefore, an important phenomenon of why Karbanos have to be brought. Karbanos is therefore integral to not only Briyat Olam, but to the maintenance of the world itself. It's one of the Amudei Olam, as I mentioned before, the scheme of the world. And quite obviously, we have to figure out what Karbanos are trying to accomplish. And now we come to the major part of the shiur tonight. Once with this Hagdam, we see that Karbanos was in from the very beginning. Now we come to problematic areas. And the reason I'm saying it's problematic areas is because in the Torah itself, if you look on the first page of the Mar Makamos I gave out tonight, when you have the Karbanos introduced in Sefer Vayikra, when you come specifically, Rabbi Yisai, to Pasuk number Tes, it says, at the end of the description of the first Karbanayla, it says, what happens? It says, V'hikta ha-kayin ha-sakaham ha-zbecha, o'la isha reich necha'ich la-Hashem. That sounds like a very, very spiritual type of statement, that when you bring this Karbanayla, that's kula huk-bagam ha-zbeach, and the kayin's bringing it, it's going to cause a fiery substance that is going to be burnt entirely on the Mizbeach. It's going to cause a Reach Nichoyach, whatever that means. And Hashem could obviously will be very happy in having this phenomenon take place. So it would appear from the Pesukim itself that Karbanos is a very positive phenomenon. It's built into Briyat Olam. It's part of the divine service of God that God perceived initially that He wanted to take place. And that seems to be, and that's why I mentioned before you came in, Yaakov bought the Bechaira from Esav just to have to make sure that the right person should be Makir of the Karban. So the obvious question is, so if that's the case, why is the Karban so important? Why are we Makir of Karbanos? Now you would expect when you come to the Rambam, Moreh Nevuchim, where it really gets very deep, turn out to page number 2, that you would have the answer explained to you, 1, 2, 3, by the Rambam, why Karbanos is so important. But the fact of the matter is, what I'm going to show you now might be a little disappointing after the introduction I gave you this evening. Why? If you look right by side on page 2, and over here I have a chance to put little letters for you to make you to follow us along quickly. The Rambam himself wants to explain why the Rabbeinu Shalom Bechvoda Ubiatzmo allowed Klal Yisrael after their redemption to be involved in the Makriv Karbanos. And the Rambam starts off as an apologist. He says from the underlying lines, "He eshul atzaysman akatza lakatza hanegi bebasachas l'ficha lo yisaken l'fitev adam shiazav klamar shahur gobo bebasachas u'kashashol Hashem es Moshe Rabbeinu l'asaseinu l'mlechtu l'kadosh b'yidiyas yisale k'moshe b'yav oma atar reisul adas yitati yom eshazul v'echa v'shinisyach l'avodasa k'mosh oma l'ovdo b'chol v'avachem Vama Vatam as Hashem Elokechem, Oisisavodu, Hoyahanahokam of Forsim Ba'olam, up until that point in time, the most popular activity when it comes to divine service in the world was what? Was the concept of Avoda, of the concept of doing Avoda Sakabanas. It was Hoyisakabanas, Mine Balechayim, Bahusahakavas, and this was prevalent in the entire world. Whether you were worshipping God or worshipping idols, everybody was into bringing sacrifices, ba'osen, hechala, shemamida, ben ha'tzuchais, even in the idolatrous world, bringing karbanos was the in thing, ishtachavolem, bowing down, hanochas akutaris lefneim, and then living burning incense, the chasidim, v'hanizivim, ha'yu'az, anoshim, yuchadim, avadasa, osa, hechala, lasuyis, lekachavim, kamoshidiyarno. It seems, Rabbi Yossi, the most pious and the most spiritual of that time, whether for good things or for bad things, were very into, basically speaking, being involved in these hechalos, and quite obviously bringing these karbanos, and those who were the chasidim and the nazirim of Avodah Zarah, they were very into bringing sacrifices to their deity, the Avodah Zarah. Therefore, listen to this, Lo chiva chachmasa yisala v'nehulo hagolet b'chaburuav shetzava usano ba'zivas komin avidas halalu ba'znich levatlam. God could have said, if he was unhappy with bringing sacrifices, he could have said, children, stop it, 1, 2, 3. But God felt, based upon his divine supervision of the world, it would not have been a good idea. Elegant. If we do tell Klal Yisrael, stop being makriv karbanos, it's an idolatrous activity, it could be that Klal Yisrael would not have listened to him because that was part of the culture they lived in for who knows how many years. Talmud Mordego. Turn the page of Oso. Kamo Elu, page number 3, right inside A. He says, telling them not to bring a carbon would have been similar to a prophet coming in that time and telling them, when it comes to Avodas Hashem, forget about davening to this God, lo tatsumi, not going to fast a bear for this God, lo teshavu lachon of Eisari, not going to beseech him at the time of Eisara, eloti avodaska, machshavu l'maisi, you're just going to think about God and that's it. He says, if people would have been told that at that point in time, forget about Kavanos, they would not have been believed that this guy knows what he's talking about. What do you mean worshiping God by thought? I mean, there are religions out there that the whole worship of God is mental contemplation. We know some religions, or idolatrous religions, that are very into that debate. But the fact is, the Rambam says, me telling Klal Yisrael, the Rabbeinu Shalom, to not bring Kavanos would have been as if I'm telling them not to pray, not to do this, not to do that. Therefore, says the Rambam, Lefika chiniyach yisalasam minay avodas avavira meyosam lenevram dvaram adumionim shengamitus leslo leshmo yisalo yisrael asosim yisalo. So what God said is, since I have no choice, because this people and the people of the world look upon divine service as bringing karbanos, I'm just going to change the format of how they bring karbanos. We're up and out, they can bring wherever they wanted, and to whoever they wanted, and whenever they wanted, and whoever wanted to do it could do it. I'm going to change it now. And I'm therefore going to make very specific rules and regulations, which means you can only bring a carbon to the Rabbanish, and you can bring a carbon to the moon, and the stars, and the sun, or to Malachim. I want to mention very specifically, both the Ramban and the Ramban in their respective treatises when it comes to the development of Avodah Zarah points out that how did Avodah Zarah start? I mean, if they knew that Avodah Zarah created the world, you can't believe that automatically they forgot about it and they started worshipping these things. So the Ramban and the Ramban both say in their respective treatises it was evolutionary. People used to say to themselves, if we see there are angels helping the Ribbono Shel'olam in the Hanhava of this world, maybe we should give cover to the Malachim, because giving cover to them is giving cover to the Ribbono Shel'olam. And to show that cover, maybe we should bring Kabbalah to them as well. When it comes to the sun, the moon, the stars, which are emissaries of Hashem's creation, to give people down here the ability to function as human beings on the face of this earth, if they're functionaries of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's give cover to the Ribbono Shel'olam by sacrificing to them, not to say that they're the creator of the universe. Doing it to them is giving cover to Hashem. The problem is, both the Ramban and the Rambam point out all the time, the real reasons they started this initially were forgotten, and certain Chevraman took over and wanted Parnassus, and they started building Hecholos and temples, and started telling them that the moon talked to me tonight, or the sun talked to me, or the Malach talked to me, and slowly but surely these new priests made people, as time went on, forget what the initial kavanah was, which according to the Rambam and the Ramban was the Isa Vegezara, even for Bnei Noach. But the fact of the matter is, at least they knew there was a Ribbono Shel'olam. They forgot about the Ribbono Shel'olam, became purely angel worship, purely demon worship, purely moon, sun, and other types of constellation worship. But the fact of the matter is, this is how the entire phenomenon began. And what the Rambam is saying over here is, the Ribbono Shel'olam said, if that's what the world was used to, even though it was used for bad things, not only for good things, we got to therefore redevelop it and make it exclusive for the Ribbono Shel'olam, and therefore give them another venue how to do it. But I'm not going to put the halachas. You could only bring it in the Mishkan or later on in the Beis Hamikdash. True, there was a Zman of Heter Bamais, but that was an unusual phenomenon. In the Midbar, there wasn't any Bamais. Number two is, only Kohanim can bring it. Not everybody could bring it itself when there was no Heter Bamais anymore. Number three is, the obvious question is when you bring it, what time you bring it, etc. So all these halachas, which were added in, started to fine-tune that the Avodas HaKavanis that the Jews are going to do is qualitatively, quantitatively, and pragmatically different than the way they were bringing the Kabbalists up until this point in time, etc. So we find over here that according to the Rambam, the concept of letting them bring Kabbalists was a concession to human frailty. It was like a pragmatic divine concern that it wouldn't work if I told them otherwise, therefore I have to do it this way. So the Rambam then asked the question upon himself. The Ribbono Shel'olam is a kol yachol. You mean to say he couldn't change Klal Yisrael's hashkafa or their way they think, or give them an ability to basically nakabel a non-karbonim type of society? I mean, Hashem's karbonim can do whatever he wants. So why, if he wasn't happy with the system, do you have the system to continue? I mean, I understand the Rambam says what I just told you, but I'm asking a question by myself. He could have changed the system. So the Rambam then gives a peladik amaisi. Then in the next two columns says that the Ribbono Shel'olam, when it comes to human personality, human teva, does not like to miraculously change human teva. And the biggest proof is when he took him out of Mitzrayim, why? Since Klaus were coming out with the slave mentality of Egypt, that they would be confronted with military warfare, they didn't have the mental capacity, physical strength, or the ability at that point with the slave mentality to fight war, but just pick themselves up and run back to Mitzrayim. So lo nichem, HaKadosh Baruch didn't change their teva, which he could have, and made them gibarim. Hashem doesn't want to take away your bechiras chashas and take away your human capacities of human emotion. So if Adaf could change the way they went in the circuit to it this way, to allow them to go in the midbar for a little bit, to strengthen themselves, to harden themselves, in order to get themselves ready to fight Muhammad later on. So the fact of the matter, if that's the case, he then goes with the supposition, Hashem does not change human teva, and if that's the case, since we were accustomed in Mordechai to do avodah to whatever god we worship, by kabanos, he therefore accommodated them and gave them his divine form and how to do it, etc., etc. It's a peladika concept, Rabbi Sivuos. If you sound, it sounds very apologetic, but what it also is problematic, Rabbi Isai, and this bothered the Ramban and everybody else, is it seems to go against the entire introduction in which I basically started off the shiur today, where I pointed out from the beginning of Briyas Olam, I'm going to read the Ramban with you very shortly, in the beginning of Briyas Olam, I pointed out to you the first thing Adam HaRishon did when he was born as an adult is he was Makir V'Karba. I pointed out that Noah later on, when after the Mabel, the first thing he did was Makir V'Karba. I pointed out that Hevel was Makir V'Karba and he was given tremendous credit by Kodesh Baruch Hu because he brought the B'chayres Chel Dayhan from the best and the finest. The concept of Shlosha, Dvar of Olam Omei, Torah of Gemilas Chasodim,
but what it means... was before Torah was given.
So I'm pointing out to you...
After Torah was given, it wasn't necessary anymore.
Well, but the fact of the matter is we see how Kodesh Baruch Hu continued.
Yeah.
So therefore, that, what I'm pointing out to you is that the Avos were Makriv Karbanos. Yeah. Everybody was into Karbanos. So if that's the case, and the Mishkan, and the so everything was Karbanos, how does the Rambam, therefore, knowing this history, he was familiar with Midrashi Chazal, he was familiar with the Torah, how could he end up with such a negative type of interpretation, how Kabbalists came to existence? To make things even more interesting, I want to show you, this is the Rambam, the Perek, one the Beis, Marim Debucha. I want you quickly, Rabbi Isai, to turn in the Marim HaKamos to page number 5. And that is on page number 5 of Perek Mevav of the third chapter of chapter 46 in the third part of Marim Nebuchim. The Rambam starts talking about the concept of how the three animals we use in the Mikdash, which means the Shvarim, the Tzon, which means basically the sheep, and the Ezim, how were they picked to be the animals used for Kabbalahs. So the Rambam gives a very interesting historical analysis. He says the Mitzrayim, quite obviously, they themselves were Ovid Mazal Tov, they worshipped the Arius constellation in Shemayim, and therefore they deify the land below as a representation of it. You then find over here, if you turn to page number 6, they quote that the Sabians, the Tzaba, they worship the Chaldeans, they worship Shadim, and they said Shadim looked like Seirim, like goats. So goats became an idolatrous entity of time of antiquity. And he points out that many people at that time also worshipped cows. And that's why he points out that Anshei Hodu, to this very day, a cow is a holy animal that basically exists in the world of India. So he says that's not a new Indian phenomenon, but that's something that goes back to time of antiquity. So if that's the case, these were the three major animals that were used by the idolaters of antiquity as karbanos. The Rabbanim therefore wanted to take the animals that were used for karbanos, that we use for divine worship, he wanted the three animals that were used by Ozef for divine worship. There's a big debate, which the Rambam brings down with other Rishonim. These animals supposedly corresponded to the celestial bodies in heaven. For instance, I mentioned before that the Tzon corresponded to Aries. They say that the bull corresponded to Taurus, which is the Tzon. Therefore, they claim that actually they were worshipping the stars and the celestial bodies. The animals below represented them as extensions of their deity. Some say and claim that they used to shech these animals to the god in heaven. They didn't eat it, but they might slaughter it down here below for their god above. Others claim not.
But the, for example, the Egyptians, they worshipped this set.
Yeah,
they didn't slaughter.
No, the question is, they didn't eat it. The question is, did they slaughter it to worship the deity above? There is the debate. I'm just telling you, Rishon, there's the debate about that. But this, it doesn't make a difference. The fact of the matter is, these were the three animals that were worshipped down here below to represent the deities above. The Vanshul says, what I'm going to do now is take these three animals that are used for Avodah Zarah, and therefore tell you to mevatel the Avodah Zarah. How? By shechting these animals for my sake, and therefore eating their flesh for most of them, except the Korban Olah, but by basically shechting them, and slaughtering them, and eating them, what am I doing? I'm showing that you yourselves are showing them as far as you're concerned, there's no deification of these animals, has nothing to do, and there's no deification of what they represent above. This was looked upon as a bittul of Avodah Zarah, and that is one of the reasons Chazal point out when it came to Yetzias Mitzrayim, where Hashem says, we say in the Haggadah, the Pasuk Nechesko, at Arim Ve'eriyah, where the Baruch Hashem says, I got to redeem you. If I don't redeem you quickly, you're going to reach the 50th Shar HaTumah. But the problem is, at the Arim Ve'eriyah, you're sunk in Menta Shari Tumah. So Hashem had to find Zuchuyot for Klal Yisrael to justify causing Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it says in the Pasuk, with Ma'achi twice. So Chazal say one relates to the Dam HaPesach, the other relates to the Dam of the Bris Milah. And the fact of the matter is, Klais were most nefesh in both areas, because when it came to Bris Milah, which they shouldn't have been Mavakal anyway, but they were Mavakal, they were going to go out in the Midbar as an adult after 2 days of a circumcision in a hot desert. That alone was a Mesiris Nefesh that they're willing to do. When it came to the concept of the Karban Pesach, what was the Bittul? You had the Shabbos HaGadol before, 4 days before they had the mitzvah of bringing the Karban Pesach. Well, what did they do? That was Shabbos HaGadol, when Hashem says, I want you to go out to the marketplace, and all these Jews buy thousands or maybe millions of these sheep and schlep them in the street. And when the Egyptians ask you why you're playing around with their deities, you'll tell them in 4 days from now, we're going to produce 1 million lamb chops. Now, so basically for them to know that we're not just using them as pets over here, we're going to mamish consume them and eat them. That could have caused the pogrom. As I'll say, the Egyptians at that time had so many fears because of the first 9 Makos, they lost their mind and we're not going to start it with the Jews. So Chazal says it's a Shabbos HaGadol. The Gadol was the nest that there was no pogrom that took place. If you didn't have any left-wing mobs going out over here, driving people crazy. But the fact is they could have. You know who they made a machlokas with? They went to power and demanded power. Get them out of here before we have the whole Mahpalah taking place. So there ended up being a Melchama on that Shabbos between the forces of Paro and some of the Bechorim, who knew that the next Mach is going to be Machis Bechoros, and some of the Bechorim were already killed in that conflict between the king's forces and the Bechorim as a result of that phenomenon. So Chazal tell us, therefore, the B'damayichi, the Mesiris Nefesh of Karban Pesach, was basically a form of Bittul Avodah Zarah. The Rambam is very much into it. He discusses this over here. And he points out later on, the fact that they put the blood of the animal on the outside of the door was to show the Egyptian neighbors, we really slaughtered this thing. And the fact they couldn't break the bones, you're supposed to take the skeleton after they eat their lamb chops, throw it outside with full bones, they'll be able to recognize this is the torso of the bone structure of the cell. It's not another animal they killed and ate. All of this was part of the pirsum of the bittul avodah zarah at that point in time. And the Rambam in Mar Nebuchadnezzar basically goes around. So we see over here that according to this Rambam, there was a functional purpose, at least when it came to Yetzias Mitzrayim, for doing the Karban Pesach activity. And when it came to animals in general that were picked later on, this was part of the divine way of causing a bittul avodah zarah by having us sacrifice animals which they perhaps didn't sacrifice, animals they worshipped, were eating them. This is part of the bittul that's going to be going on for the end of time. Yes?
And yet, with Pisces, there's no carbon for fish.
Right. There's no carbon for fish. That's everybody's Shlom's choice.
You are listening to Ben's Torah.
Whatever it is, the fact of the matter is, Vizel. Now, what I want to show you, Rabbi Yisai, I want you to move quickly over here, is I want you now, in the Maram Kamos, to go to page number 10. So on page number 10, we now have the Ramban Chumash. So the Ramban Chumash, but obviously, on this Pasuk test, which I read to you before, is now going to show you his reaction to the Rambam's approach. So let me show you what, basically speaking, and what's problematic is if, as I said, the Rambam seems to be very apologetic. Probably it's a concession. So listen to what the Ramban says. I have it underlined, and I also have the letters over there. This is A and B. This is the following. Titamat Karbanos, he starts quoting the Rav Mar Nebuchadnezzar, Bavur Shamitzrim Hakazdim Ashahoy Yisrael Garim Toshav Vartzam Olam Hoy Ovdim Lebuk of its own. Kimitzrim Ovdim Leklev Hakazdim Ovdim Leshedim Ashayirlem Bidamusirim Ashahodu Arayom Lo Yishdu Bakal Olam. She's paraphrasing the Rambam. Bavur Kainti Lishkot Elishlosh Aminu Lashem Anichbot
כדי שיבודו כי הדבר שהיו חושבים כי הם בתכלס עבירה ותגעים אותו to kill these animals and slay these animals a terrible sin ושיקריבו לבורא we're not going to use them as a sacrifice to our creator ובו יזכחו עבונות כי כן ישרפו לאמונות הרוס Shemadi Nefesh, he says that you're going to have a Christ who is steeped in Avodah Zarah, because Chazal said, Mentor Shari Tuma, Halalo Oydevaz, Halalo Oydevaz Zarah, the Malachim said the Jews were stained with the idolatry reaching the 49th level of contamination. He says, by them slaughtering these animals of Avodah Zarah and using them as divine worship, they're doing what's called the Tshuva Samishkal, and using this to clean their souls and their bodies and their entire neshama from spiritual sickness to do Tshuva. When you do the opposite, it's called Tshuva Samishkal. You cause the Kapara and Rafua. Elu Devarav, so he says, these are the words of the Rambam, who behem herech, and he's marach upon them. So listen to what the Rambam says. Hinehem divrei havoi. That's a pretty big critique. Which means, in my mind, these are words of havoi, of foolishness, of nothingness. He says, Yirapenu sheva gadol. You're trying to heal a big break, the kushya rab and a big kasha ala nikla by giving a tevetz that's like we call a klutz tevetz to a difficult kasha. Yasa shulchan Hashem megolal, you're making the shulchan of Hashem his mizveah into a dirty type of entity. She'en arak lahotzi miliben shol rishayim v'tipshay. The only reason is we have to try to teach the world they made a mistake. So that's the reason we have kerbanos. Fakasav almar. But look at the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ki heim lechem isha reich nichoach l'Hashem." That's the pasuk text. The gam lefis shetusam shom Mitzrayim lo tesabach. In fact, I'm going to tell you, the Ramban says, a very important factor. You think that's going to cure the Egyptians and the Kazdim from worshipping these animals? On the contrary, let me tell you what's going to happen. Listen, he explains. Avol teisif machlo kimachsheves harishayim haniskarim lavol b'malzul kleh malzul shar sheshem kayach behem kivim machshavtam lechein lo yochlos on the covered cholcham yisodam. So he says that normally the goyim up until now used to basically stay away from these animals, didn't eat them, didn't consume, didn't kill them, because they basically worshipped the mazals and shemayim that these animals represented. So that was their attitude up until now. If you're now going to reroute and say, I want you to shech and kill these animals for the sake of God, which is basically what the Rambam says Hashem wanted us to do, what is that going to do? Turn to page number 11A. What Hashem is now saying is, you're going to be mechabed me by slaughtering these animals which represented your heavenly bodies above. You're now using them as divine sacrifices for the God of gods. Which means to say, they're going to think that maybe we did the wrong thing. Maybe we worshipped the wrong God with them, but we did the right thing by, quite obviously speaking, not eating them for food. But now we're rooting, or the Jews are rerooting it as a divine service of some deity above, whatever that deity is. So the divinity of these entities, or the representative of the divinity, might be confirmed rather than be mavutal. But he doesn't just stop there. They used to bring, when it comes to the Goyim, Kabbalahs every month, B'chol Rosh Chodashim, and the Shemesh, and they used to bring Kabbalahs to the sun, Ba'alos, Ba'amazalos, Yedum, Lohem, B'sipurayim, based upon astrological phenomena at that point in time. The Yosef, the Serapa, Hamachla, the better way to cure them from this illness, if you want to do a real job, is what? Ba'achilasamehem, L'sova, Shu'oslev, U'mugunah, B'nei, B'loyasel, Kein L'ayil, which means, instead of making them into Kabbalahs, he should have said to Klal Yisrael, don't use them for kabbanos.
Eat them. Well, we do eat them.
But the idea being is, it should become normal food that you consume. That would be the greater bitul. That would take away any type of feeling of deification from them. Finei, and furthermore, besides that problem of the Rambam, what does the Rambam do with the following? He knoach b'tzeisim in ateva, im shloshes banav, Eibolim Kasdi Mitzri. At that time, the word Kasdi Mitzriim. What did he do? He was Hikriv Karban. At that time, there was no Avodah Zarah to wean away by sacrifices. So the Rambam Svara seems to be muchish from that. I point out Adam Arisha was Makriv Kabbanis. Kain Hevel was Makriv Kabbanis. The Avos was Makriv. And furthermore, what's interesting is it says the Pasik, Reach Nechayek, which is a term used by the Chumash later on in Sefer Vayikra. In fact, Hashem responded to the carbon that Noah brought. I'm no longer going to curse the land because of what Adam did. I'm not going to bring another marble anymore. So the carbon not only was accepted by Hashem, but Hashem made a promise no longer to destroy the world as a marble as a result of the power of that carbon. Which means to say he brought from the best and finest of the sheep. Hashem rewarded him by accepting it. At that point in time, it only happened later on. Bilam Amal, listen to this. Bilam Amal Shem Mizbach Azarachti Va'al Par Va'ayel B'Mizbeach. Ain't like to Atul Shlom Meno Amunas Raos. Avraham Skaver. First of all, Bilam surely was not bringing Makir Kabanos over there in order to Mavatul them as Avodah Zarah. And number two is he was never commanded by God as a prophet of God at that time to do this. He did this to gain favor from Hashem. So he says, "Loshen hakabanas as kabani lach yisharech mechayik laHashem chalila shulei behem shum to elos v'ratzon rach sholos alazar midas hashaitim." He says to say, I mean, he calls the Das HaShaitim, poor Adam. He says, if that's the case, it's impossible to believe that the only purpose behind the Kabbalah was literally to Mavata of Avodah Zarah. I mean, I'm giving you some historical proofs.
But that's what I'm trying to answer. I'm trying to say, the Rambam agrees that the Kabbalah was done. It's obvious Kabbalah was done. It's right.
He doesn't mention it, though.
He doesn't
mention any of his right. That's the problem. In his Marn Avuchim, he should have said, not that they just bought it in a
month. I'm just trying to respond to that. Once the Torah was given, there was no need for it because to serve God, you didn't need Kabbalah anymore to serve God. There was an alternate way to serve God.
So what I'm saying
is the way they served God before Torah.
So my question to you is, my dear friend, that if that was the case, Adam, the Avos, all the tzaddikim that existed before Matan Torah should not have brought Kabbalah.
They all did. That was the way to serve.
But why?
Until the Torah.
So my question is:
there were no mitzvahs. There was nothing.
That's not true. That Shevet Mitzvah Bnei Noach. That Shevet Mitzvah Bnei Noach. That Shevet Mitzvah Bnei Noach. That mitzvah to do. And there was an Isa Avodah Zarah.
So what I'm
saying to you is that there was no need to bring Kabbalah. On the contrary. Yaakov bought the Bechara from Esav that he should have the schus to bring the carbon. And these Midrash Chazal point out, on the contrary, they advocated the bringing of Kabbalah. That doesn't do with idolatry. That was the way you worship Hashem. Adam, the first thing he does when he's born into this world, he's Makriv HaKarbon. What does he bring Makriv HaKarbon for? In fact, he doesn't even bring it over here, the Ramban. But we have Midrash to say that explicitly. So for this reason, the Ramban says, there has to be another reason for Kabbalah. So it can't be just to negate Avodah Zarah. So now we're going to come into what everybody else says besides the Rambam. Whether the Rambam only held this way, there are other Rambams, I'll tell you honestly speaking, what's a Pella Pelayim is that the Ramban quotes the Rambam in Marn Avuchim, but he doesn't even quote the whole Rambam. He quotes segments of the Rambam. More he quotes the Rambam in Perek Mem Vav than the Rambam in Perek Lamed Beis. He doesn't even mention the Rambam in Perek Lamed Beis. And number two is, I haven't shown you the Rambam in Hilchas Me'ilah yet, which I'm going to show you towards the end of the Shia. When you see what he writes in Hilchas Me'ilah, you're going to realize that the Rambam had another view that for some reason the Ramban and others didn't want to bring up, but I'll get to that shortly. But first let me show you what the Ramban says.
It wasn't the Marbam written for a different audience than
I mean, people who want to be apologists for its claim that's the case, but the fact of the matter is, I could tell you one little thing, and that is the Tzafnis Paneach, the Rugged Shava, used to learn the Mor Nevuchim on the same level as the Mishnah Torah, and used to derive halachas from it, so in his mind, it wasn't written for a different audience, that I can tell you. And the fact of the matter is, it did cause the Rambam a lot of tzaras initially because the French and German Balutasis, who were not used to what was written in Marin Nevuchim, burnt the Rambam's Svarim because what they saw in the Marne Vuchim, who defended the Rambam against them? The Ramban. The Ramban came and says, forget about the Marne Vuchim. He wanted to say that's a separate book written for separate audience, separate people. Look at the Mishnah Torah. But that was the whole sugya b'fnei atzma. But at the end of the day, b'zman is that you tell me what gadol, what talmid chacham, what tzaddik doesn't have a Marne Vuchim as part of their library when it comes to analyzing Torah. It doesn't exist. What Torah Rabbi doesn't have a Rambam in it? You know, just think of it. They burnt it at the time of the Taisa. By the way, Taisa is today, you know, how many people wrote?
Many younger wrote the Shari Tshuva.
Yeah, I mean, as a kapara, because what happened? Because the burning later on of the Talmud.
Antagonist.
When they saw that the Talmud was burnt, so the Rabbi Yonah says this was a punishment Hashemite, because since we burnt the Rambam, Hashem paid us back, that all the Perishim who wrote Taisa among Shas should have also conflagration made. In fact, one of the keynotes we say on Tisha B'Av is a commemoration of Sarshul Suf of the Eish. There's a whole thing about that. Let's get back to this. So what is the alternate approach to this? So let me show you the Ramban, because the Ramban now is going to quote Ibn Ezra and in one of his Pshatim. He says, if that's the case, let me tell you what the reason is. And the one he quotes over here is basically initially the Pshat of the Ibn Ezra, who is what's called he says karbanos are symbolic and they teach us hashkafas. So what does that mean? So let's see what he says inside. For Yosaroi, this is where C is the line above. The Shema Tam Shomer Mem Ki Be'avur Shemas Bnei Adam Nigmara B'Machshav Adiba Ma'isa. Human beings' activities have three things that impact upon it. A person thinks something, he speaks something, and he does something. And these three are three different types of ways a person can commit sin and rebel. So, Siv Hashem Kasha Yachta V'Yavi Karben, Yisvach Yodav V'Lav Keneged Hamasa. He has to do Smichas of Karben, or to do Keneged, the very he did with his Mais Yodayim. Yisvada Bepicha, to say Vidu of Tshuva, Keneged the Dibur, he did with the sin of the mouth. For Yisraf Be'esh, Hakerek Loyos, and burn these body parts of the innards of the animal, which are the clay machshava v'hataiva of the animal itself. V'hakarayim, and the actual feet of the animal, the back feet especially, are keneged yodav v'raglav sh'odam oisu kamalachto. V'yizrach adama mizbeach, used to sprinkle the blood of mizbeach, atonim, keneged damo benafsha, keneged his blood. Kadesh Yachshav Adam Basasu Ko'ela Kichat Elaka Begufu Benafsho. In actuality, I sin to God with my body and my nefesh. Roi Sheishbach Damav Yisaref. I should have therefore had my blood spilled and been burnt on the Mizbeach. And Lula Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of Chesed that Hashem did in this world with me, the Zarachimim, Shalachim Yimedu Tumura, he allowed me to bring a representative in lieu of me. And therefore, keep our covenants of the covenants of Kapara. Shadamu tachas damo, nafshu tachas nefesh, rosh evarav hakavim ken rosh evarav, hamanas lahachis ben mori ha-tayra. You give portions to the Kohen that the mori ha-tayra, at that time who were the Kohen Leviim, she spalav leisha prayer on their behalf. And there, and when Kashi will say to me, that's private kabbalah, what about a carbon tamid? So he says, a carbon tamid, babur shalo yinatzlu harabim echet tamid, of Eladvarim is Kablim Moshkam Halev Kidivri Agada. So the Ramban says, yeah, I like this, you know, it's a nice Agada. It's surely better than the Rambam's approach, but this is primarily the Ibn Ezra. He's quoting the Ibn Ezra. Now, what I want to point out to you is that we have the Rambam's approach. We now see the Ibn Ezra approach quoted by the Ramban. Let me go a little quicker. I'm just looking at my watch to try to finish this as quickly as I can. Now, I said that the Ibn Ezra took the symbolic approach, which is basically what's put over here. Rav Hirsch in his Perish L'Chumash, the Sefer V'Yikra, is kulo symbolic. By him, everything, all the kelim in the Mikdash, every part of the Avodas HaKavod, you can say Sefer V'Yikra, the Hirsch, he's the biggest symbolic interpreter of every prat of all the Kabbalahs that you can find amongst all the Mefashim itself. And therefore, he looked upon this as a way of teaching Hashkafas HaTorah by Kabbalahs being instructive in different type of phenomenon. That's his specific Shita. I will tell you, however, that the Mukubalim over here, represented by the Sefer Fahir, which was one of the earliest Svarim we have in Kabbalistic literature, says that Kabbalahs had a different purpose. And he says, what's the Lashon used by the Torah? Adam Kiyavim became carbon Hashem. The thing is called a carbon. What's the purpose of carbono? So the Sifrei Kabbalah, Sefer Berurah says, it's basically to cause a chibur between Olam Hazeh and the Olam of Neshamas, the Olam of spirituality above of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. the mechaber this world with the world of the Rebbeinu from above, the chibur is done by the kabbalah itself. That's what's accomplishing this specific type of phenomenon. And he points out that if the upper and lower spheres are connected through kabbalahs based upon kabbalistic concepts, the Maharam in Prague also takes a very similar approach. What's interesting and fascinating is a sefer like the Kuzari, who's never looked upon as a makubal, in this context, in kabbalah starts talking like a makubal. And in the sefer Kuzari, he says the following. He says, Hashem wants Klai Yisrael to connect to him. But in order for Klai Yisrael to connect to him and come under what's called the aura of Inyan Eloki, Kuzari has the following thesis. When the Rebbeinu Shem created the world and created mankind, he first gave all mankind Zaymus B'nei Noach. But he then said to mankind, besides performing these mitzvahs, I want to develop an intimate connection to me called Inyan Eloki. The part of society that accomplished those, that tachlis, both tachlisim, will ultimately become the Am HaNivchar. So therefore, Avram and Sarah's choice later on was not based upon divine nepotism. Avram and Sarah are the only people in society that not only observe Zayim Mitzvah Nei Noach, but also preserve the Inyan Eloki on the highest level. Noach and his family did not. That's why Avram and Sarah were chosen later, the Kuzari says, to become the progenitors of Klal Yisrael. So says the Kuzari, but to get Inyan Eloki, the Rebbeinu Shem says he needs certain helpmates. He says, number one is the ideal place for Klal Yisrael and for Avram Yisrael, when they did get Inyan Eloki, the place they really was in Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael. So you need the avir, the environment of Eretz Yisrael, to be able to develop this Inyan Eloki. But that's not sufficient. Besides the having the avir Eretz Yisrael, you need a makom. So he says, building a Mikdash in Eretz Yisrael, which has even a higher to Kedusha, and bringing Kabbalahs, gives the person the greatest capacity to connect to the Rebbeinu Shem with Inyan Eloki by the Kabbalah serving as a medium of raising yourself spiritually and being Makari and connecting you to the Rebbeinu Shem. So the Kuzari, who is not a Makubal, is speaking like a Makubal over here, that the purpose is to Mechaber you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if that's the case, he basically said, and he makes the following statement. He says, the Neshama and the body stay together because a person has food to keep you alive, to have the neshama and the body to continue going. He says, what keeps Klal Yisrael connected to the Rebbeinu Shalom? It's the base of Mikdash and Kabbalah, that are the food that connects us to allow us to function as Klal Yisrael and to have the Inyan Eloki on the highest level. This is the Kuzari, it's not me talking over here. Finally, over here, I want to mention that there's one more sheet I want to mention, and that is Rav Yitzchak HaRama, the Baal HaKedah. He also talks about the concept of Chibur. He also talks like the Kabbalistic Mefarshim, but he says there's one phenomenon that they don't. He says to actually really do this on the best level, you just can't be a passive participant and wait for this to happen to you. You have to be proactive and go after to develop the connection with the Rebbeinu Shalom. He says, bringing Karbanos is being proactive to develop that Kesher, and bringing a Karban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to Mekar yourself and develop that Kesher. And that is the source later on of Yitzchak HaRama as well as Archaim HaKadosh of wanting to use Karbanos as the means to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It brings me now to a Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer, when he was asked by Tzvi Hirsch Kalosher the following question, Tzvi Hirsch Kalosher felt that if Klal Yisrael in his time, in the 1800s, would start showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu the desire not only to return to Eretz Israel, but to be makiv and cutting tzibur on what that time was Har HaBayis that was under the Arab rule, then maybe Hashem would see that being proactive, like the Baal HaKedah said, that is kavis, and Hashem would have rachmonis and cause the gula and rebuild the base of the Mikdash. So he asked the question to the Chassam Sofer and Rabbi Kiv Eger, his father-in-law, do we paskin this Kedushas Mikdash to be makiv kabanos? So there's where the Chassam Sofer, who was told by Rabbi Kiv Eger, you take over, he told we paskin at the Shita Sarabim, Kedusha Roshan HaKisha at the Kisha Lassan Lavo, and therefore if you want to be makiv a kabin tziba, which is Deicha Tuma, we can do. We just have to make sure we have to find the right kohenim. We have to, basically speaking, big day kohuna, and you have to know the place where to be marked with the carbon, because the makom is back to be miyachedas. Whole bunch of tanoim, but the basic source that the Chassam Sofer says, why am I saying that you have to be proactive to do this, and you can do it technically, because why was David Zocher to build the base of Mikdash with Shlomo, and for hundreds of years, when Klaus entered Eretz Israel, there was no Mikdash built? Because he said that Shmuel HaNavi, and later on David HaMelech and Nasan HaNavi, they were the first Jews to actively be Darish Tzion, to try to figure out where the Makom Mikdash was supposed to be, because that Darish Tzion, to build the Makom Mikdash and to be Makor Kabbalah on the higher level, they are the ones who facilitated that. Hashem therefore answered and Klan gave them the schus to ultimately build it itself. So we see Drishas Atzion to be Makir Kabbanis to HaKadosh Baruch is a way of facilitating ultimate redemption, ultimate building the base of the Mikdash, and ultimate spiritual fulfillment. So he told Tzvi Hirsch Kalish, if we can take care of all the technicalities, I would agree with you. We want to bring the Mashiach earlier, let's try it. At the end of the day, the big problem, you know, to have, I think I remember, I gave Shuman this in the past, the biggest problem they had was, is they were able to find Konam Yuchasim. They were able to figure out Amma where the Mizbeach would be, and you only need Amma Sha'amma to do that. They were able to, basically speaking, have the Tumah Hutudukudukudukudukudukudu going to be marked with a Kabban Pesach that's called a Kabban HaTzibur, and it's Deichet Tumah, so they're going to bring that. The monies, people are going to donate it to the Mikdash, and there will be a person's private money, it will be communal money. But when it came to Big Dekun, even though they weren't looking for a Kohen Gadol, they just wanted like a Rappaport Mishpach, which are Kohen Yuchasim.
Me.
Yeah, or Tzvi would have been there. So over there, what was missing? They needed the Big Dekun, because even if you had the greatest Yichus, Kasheh Big Deyam and Kunasim Aleyim, ain't Big Deyam and Kunasim Aleyim. So they wanted to just have Big Dekun. And the Big Dekun are basically four begotten for a simple Kohen. The problem is, there's a machlokes what the Gata was made of. Mm-hmm. If the gata was made of pishtin and people and we pass them that way, it'd be easy. You make the four begodim of pishtin and go on with it. But we have the passing like the other shita and Ram and others that the gata of the kain hedyot was like the kain gadol, which meant it was made of the four different types of species pishtin and tzemer biyachdov, and the tzemer had to be tzemer that was basically dyed with what, with the blood of the chalazon. At that time, we didn't know what the chalazon was. And if you dye with some other blue dye that's not the chalazon, it's a puzzle dick gartel. A puzzle dick gartel means a mechusa begadim, and therefore you can't be makir kabbalah. So what prevented them from doing it was the halakha gartel. It's a phenomenon. Everything else was set. They knew the person, the place, and everything else. Of course, they didn't take into consideration Arabs might kill them because they went on, you know, where the mosque was, and trying to build an altar right next to it that can first tell what would have gone, and then, and there was no idea to protect you, I understand. But the fact is, we're finally saved, and was the Gato problem. But from all of this, we see, halach l'masa, that Krabanas themselves have a deeper, more significance. It's not just a winner's way from the Avodah Zarah.
But
another Ramban agrees with the Mukubal.
Oh, he agrees with that.
He was just quoting the Ibn Ezra to show you this about Pshat. He says it's a nice drush, but then he has a whole Kabbalistic statement which you won't understand the word what he's talking about. The Ramban, if you want to take it with you, he talks Kabbalistic, which he doesn't go into the Arichos. No. The Gedolim I mentioned basically speak out what he said, but Kitz and Nimrash just quoting a couple of words. At the end of the day, the Chafetz Chaim himself used to advocate, if you want to bring Mashiach, there's the Gemara that says in Masechtas Menachos and Mizrachim, kol Isaac in the halachas of Karbanos. It's as if you were mocked of the Karban. Hashem considers it as if you were mocked of the Karban. So that's why he advocated the learning of Kachim. Not only on a pragmatic level, that if Mashiach comes tomorrow, you'll know how to conduct yourself halachically, but also to kol Isaac ba'ayla, Ki'ilu makivayla. So if that's the case, he said, if we can't do it physically, let's do it through Lima Datera, and therefore, Kol Isaac, the Mara says, as if you were bringing it. Maybe that will be Mara and Shemayim, the concept of Hashem having Rachmanis, etc., etc. In Eretz Yisrael, a couple of years ago, the Kohenim in Eretz Yisrael started having the bodies measured for the Big Day Kahuna. I don't know if you saw the story written up in the presses over there, because the Big Day Kahuna, even the head, has to be measured exactly. It can't be dragging on the floor. It can't be higher from the floor or lower. So at that time, a whole bunch of Kohen, including Riskin, went to the Temple Institute and they measured them out. So I know recently one of the heads of YU, who basically retired from YU and went to take over Riskin's position in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Brandis' son is who I'm talking about. Basically, Riskin retired from his, only he kept his shul, everything else he gave away, and Brandon now became the new head. And he told Riskin, I'm going to be conducting a little different. I'm using the YU Ashkaf in these institutions, not the one that you were using, which is a little more to the left. So it seems one of the first questions when he came to us, he was asked, was, do we want us to measure, because he's a Kohen, do you want us to measure you for the Big Day Kahuna also? So he says, oh, I'll tell you in a couple of weeks from now. First, let me just settle in over here. But the fact of the matter is, Rabbi Yisai, the whole Hasidus and Kabbalah is today, shows you has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah anymore. It never really did, according to these Mefarshim. It has to do with a way of connecting to the Rabbanu Shalom. There's a whole sefer I have over here, which I'm not going to go into now, which you have written by the Ramchal. Moshe Letzata points out we have a medrash that the Beis Hamikdash Shalmata is mechuvin to the Beis Hamikdash Shalmaila. And when the Chuvin Abayis took place, for it to be churv down here, it had to be churv above, and Klal Yisrael's Averos caused the churvin above, which caused the churvin below. So over here you have a picture he draws of the Bayis Shlishi, that ultimately speaking, when the Bayis Shlishi will be built, you'll have the Beis Hamikdash Shalmaila being mechuvin Beis Hamikdash Shalmata. He has in the back over here a picture based upon the Pesukim of Yecheskel of how the Bayis Shlishi is going to be. It's going to be a different surah.
The World Trade Center.
What?
It'll be as big as the World
it's
Trade
going to,
Center.
Whatever it is, it's going to be a little different format than you have in the Bayis Sheni and Bayis Rishon. But the fact of the matter is, the concept of Chibur between this world and the next world is a major theme in Kabbalistic literature, and that's what's going to happen.
What did the Rambam hold about Akdus Hayom?
Oh, let me tell you something. So I want to finish that off. Excellent. Thank you for asking. Or else I would have left you out with this piece. What bothers me in this whole discussion, I have to, for intellectual honesty, look at the last page of the Marakas. This bothers me tremendously. Last page. The Rambam at the end of Hukas Me'ilah discusses the concept of Tami HaMitzvahs. And he points out at the end, on page 14, the last page, that I want you to know that the Rabban Hashem gave us mitzvahs that are mishpatim, mitzvahs that are chukim, and he starts explaining what's what, and all of them could obviously have tami mitzvahs. He then says, over here, where I have my little finger, the last four lines, he says, v'kol kabanas kula mechlal chukim hain, amru chachamim, b'shvil avedas hakabanas oilam omeid. So he's now quoting the mission I started off the shiur with today, that has nothing to do with avedas zara. Which means he's mentioning what keeping the world around is the Kabbalistic concept of Olam. To answer your question, in the 11th chapter, Hilchos Malachim, he says, what is the job of the Mashiach? He must rebuild the Beis Hamikdash and reinstate Hatreves Kabbanim for Bayis Shlishi to take place. And we're not dealing with Avodah Zarah.
Very much in conflict with the
He's in conflict with his Mar Nevuchim. He's mamish talking like everybody else at that point in time. And also, remember, the Rambam paskins that Tamidos were not only, that Kabbalists were not only, forgive me, that Tfilos were not only Mesukim by the Avos, which he mentions in Hilchos Malachim, but in Hilchos Tridi paskins, Tamidos connected. That tefillah is connected to midim tikkun, which means to say, in Bayis Sheni they correlated tefillahs, which is a derisa to him to hakrevas a karbon. Now, when you're basically davening as if you're being makriv a karbon, for him to quote that, it shows you that karbonos are not just to wean us away from idolatry, but they're a spiritual replacement of karbonos.
You have multiple reasons for something.
So I'm saying to you, but what's interesting is that the Rambam, when he criticized the Rambam,
he didn't mention
Me'ilah, didn't mention the Rambam Hilchos Malachim, didn't mention the Rambam, and that is the Tzorech in Gadol. They just chapped the Mar Nevuchim and never hit him over the head and say, why are you saying that? But it could be that was the most dangerous of the Rambams, because the other ones they agreed with, but they felt that people only see that Rambam and Mar Nevuchim, they'll walk away with such a negative opinion what Kabbalists are, that it's basically, you know, an accommodation and pragmatism. I think that's why they bounced upon it.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.